Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
So, we were talking about the Republican debate tonight in Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
We've got four...
Four candidates.
You got...
You got Governor Christie.
Yes.
You've got... I'm sorry, Governor DeSantis.
You got three governors.
Yeah, three governors.
DeSantis, two a performer.
Yeah. Right. DeSantis, Christie, and...
Ramaswamy
was the governor. He's an entrepreneur. Right.
Nikki Haley.
And then Nikki Haley, who was governor.
Governor of South Carolina. Yeah. Yep, so they'll be in Tuscaloosa.
They will be.
Tonight.
Roll Tide.
Will that be the last Republican debate before... What did you say?
Roll Tide.
Had to get that in there.
It's in my marriage vows.
Yeah. So... My question, Steve, would you have dated and married your wife if she'd been a Vanderbilt fan? That's what I want to know.
Yes, she's a quality.
Because you weren't an Alabama fan.
I was not. Right, she's a quality woman regardless of her collegiate affiliations.
I'm just kidding.
She also, by the way, you should like her. She went to state.
Yeah, she did.
She played in the Maroon Band.
Famous Maroon Band.
The famous Maroon Band. State. And she also played in the Million Dollar Band, but she played clarinet.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the famous Maroon Band is a band at Mississippi State, my alma mater, and the Million Dollar Band is what the University of Alabama's marching band is known as.
It is. And by the way, did you see the Mississippi State Band this year in any of the games?
Yeah.
Hundreds. I mean, massive. They are able to line up on the football field every, you know, like on the line every 5 yards, and they cover the whole field.
Right.
They're huge.
We believe in giving our football scholarships to band members.
Apparently.
So, well, that explains a lot.
Well, you might be able to beat us in football, but by golly.
We're going to outband you.
We're winning that halftime show. I'll tell you that right now, just by the sheer numbers.
Exactly.
That explains a lot about this past season.
All right.
Our number two draft.
It's funny. The bands in colleges are given names. I mean, they're nicknames. They're just not all known as the University of So-and-So Marching Band. They're given nicknames, which I like.
Yeah.
The anyway, so that debate is tonight. Yep. It'll be the fourth one?
It is the fourth one.
And former President Trump is not going to be there.
He's sitting this one out again.
And this is the final debate before the Iowa caucuses?
I believe so. The Iowa caucuses are in January. So yes.
January 15th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So.
All right. Well, we will see what they say tonight.
So let me ask.
Who's the moderators?
Megyn Kelly is one. And there's a gal that was with ABC News for a while. Let me look that up.
And where is it going to be? Where can you watch it?
Well, you can watch it on the CW, the network.
Channel
CW, and there's another one.
News or something, I think.
Yeah.
What does CW stand for? Anybody know?
No, that's been a – that was – I think that was like a combination of – used to be like a Warner network, and then – CW network. I'm going to look that up.
So the CW network. I've seen it. I don't think I watch it. I don't watch shows on there. I don't know what's on there.
Okay. So here are the moderators. News Nation is Elizabeth Vargas. She used to be with ABC News.
Okay.
Megyn Kelly. Okay. And then the Washington Free Beacon editor Elena Johnson. All of these people tend to be conservative minded. So we're liable to get, to be honest, even the liberal, the MSNBC moderators were fairly good.
Lester Holt did a good job.
I thought they did
a pretty good job.
By the way, the CW network derived from the network's name is derived from the first letters of the names of its two founding co-owners, CBS Corporation and Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers owned by Time Warner. Later AT&T's Warner Media. So the W was from Warner, and I guess they combined it because Warner used to have its own, like, network, but then they combined it with CBS to create the CW.
Okay, so you can watch it on the CW network, or you can tune in to News Nation. And again, one of the
I may not be able to watch it. I'm going to say I don't have the CW.
But you can log into News Nation. You can
watch okay, that's what I'll do.
That's the app, you mean?
News Nation, well, they probably have an app. But the event will air on its website and streaming platforms.
Okay.
All right.
So, well, yeah.
That's tonight in Tuscaloosa, probably 8 o'clock Central Time, I'm guessing.
So here's what my question to you regarding this. I was speaking with Bob Vanderplatz. We were talking about the GOP
field. From Iowa.
He is Bob, from Iowa. Yeah. But he's also, they call him the Kingmaker. I've been talking to him since he was a Prince Maker for a long, long time. But he's very astute politically and everything. And he said that the Ron DeSantis debate with Gavin Newsom should energize his campaign and the debates with Trump not being a part of him could energize his campaign to the point where he might be competitive. What do you think?
You mean nationally or in Iowa? You're talking about Governor DeSantis.
Governor DeSantis. Well, here's the thing. If he wins in Iowa, that changes the whole ballgame. All of a sudden, he's a player, right? Would you think?
Governor DeSantis, you mean?
If Governor DeSantis wins in Iowa.
Well, I think it's one of those situations where Governor DeSantis almost has to win Florida.
I mean, you mean Iowa.
And Florida.
I mean Iowa. Iowa. And if he doesn't, it would be very hard for him to rise from a second place there and win. This is one person's opinion, albeit a very intelligent opinion, but still one person's opinion. I think Governor Santos needs to win Iowa outright in the caucuses, and then he can say, "See, Trump's winning is not inevitable. We've got a game on." But I think that's why DeSantis is spending all that time and resources in Iowa. He's been to Iowa. He's been to every county in Iowa and talked to people and took questions because he's been focusing so much time, energy, and effort on Iowa because evidently he feels like he needs to win Iowa as well.
I'm gonna say I don't think the debate between DeSantis and Gavin Newsom helped Governor DeSantis because that was last week and I haven't seen much in the way of getting a bump for the Florida governor. I would also say, I agree with Tim, Governor DeSantis has to win Iowa. I would say he has to win New Hampshire and South Carolina before he becomes a player. Here are the three last Iowa GOP caucus winners. Okay, 2008, 12
Republicans?
Yep, 2016. Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz. Neither of those three went on to win the GOP nomination because they were foiled in New Hampshire. So I think
Or other states.
Yeah. But it just because you win in Iowa, it does give you some attention, but oftentimes people take a look, and I think this would probably be the case. My prediction is they will take a look. Some people will take a look at DeSantis for the first time. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for any of the four who are going to be on the stage tonight to defeat
It would have to be one-on-one. To have any chance at all.
Yeah, Ramaswamy and...
No, to have any chance at all...
Would have to drop out.
To compete with Donald Trump, it appears. Now, the polling could be wrong, but I don't think it's this wrong. I mean, where we've talked about that Trump is out in front among Republican voters. But you would have to have it down to one-on-one to be able to have a chance to defeat him. Because right now, if you look at the polling, generally speaking, Trump's polling around anywhere from 50 to 60%. Republican voters, right?
I am at the site 538, which is a political site, and it has a graph here that you can look at the latest polls in each state.
Are you talking about nationally polls or
Both? No. Okay. This is I can
go ahead.
The Iowa numbers.
Go ahead.
In Iowa, as of the last one they took, which I guess was December 6th, Trump is at, Trump is at 45.9%, and DeSantis is right around 20%. Haley is about 18%, and Ramaswamy is down in single digits.
Okay. Now, Iowa is a caucus state, not a primary state. So those numbers don't matter as much as how many people you've got committed to caucus for you.
Right.
So an underdog who outworks the favorite has a better chance in Iowa than it does in a state that's just an open primary.
Well, and let me tell you about South Carolina then. South Carolina, Trump has 49.2% he's polling, and DeSantis is below Haley, and he's at about 11.
How much is she polling?
She's polling at a 21.
Okay. See what I mean? So let's say you have Trump with 50% of the Republican vote. Okay. That means 50% don't want him. Right? So that means the only way you would have a chance to knock him off would be to have it down to one-on-one. And that doesn't appear to be going to happen anytime soon, especially between DeSantis and Nikki Haley, because Ramaswamy and, is that pronounced his name correctly?
Yes.
Vivek Ramaswamy and Chris Christie, they don't have a chance at all. Nikki Haley and DeSantis would have a chance if it were just one of them. You see what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
Yes.
So, thank you.
But here's the thing, though, about that, is that you can't just say that if Nikki Haley were to drop out, that those votes would go to Trump. With particularly with Nikki Haley, she's got the never Trump vote. She's got, you know, she's got the Republicans that under no circumstances would they be voting for Donald Trump. So,
well, some of them are voting for DeSantis.
Right, but I mean, if she dropped out, you could put them in DeSantis's camp, but Ramaswamy would probably go to Trump.
Yeah, but he's down there around 4 and 5%, really. Talking about Ramaswamy. I like
South
the
Carolina,
guy. I like the guy. Huh?
In South Carolina, he's at
2%. He's at 2%. He's an absolutely non-factor. Again, I said, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis are long shots. Vivek Ramaswamy and Chris Christie are no shots.
Right.
All right. So that's just the reality.
And you're saying DeSantis and Haley are also no shots as long as they are splitting the never Trump vote.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm.
I think that's not fair appraisal.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
It's out there in front of us.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're going to get into speculating now, but if what happens if Donald Trump isn't there?
As it doesn't show up?
No. He isn't the Republican nominee.
Oh, if he loses in the primary?
No. Well, I'm just saying, what if he gets convicted of the in federal court of major felonies?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what that would do to public opinion, but there's no law that says he can't still run. So knowing him, and I don't, but I mean, guessing from what I know of him, he wouldn't drop out. So he'd still think he's in the race. Now, what that would do to the polls, I don't know.
Okay, and don't misunderstand me. We're not going to sit here and dissect the legitimacy or illegitimacy of ever felony count indictment against former President Trump. Some of them appear to be nothing more than it was silly, and others appear I wouldn't want to be Donald Trump against a federal prosecutor on some of this stuff, because it appears he did some things that were,
especially in the venues, you know, Washington D.C. and the Atlanta area, Fulton County. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, what if he is not eligible because he is? You're saying he can be eligible anyway?
I don't think that it's illegal for him to run.
Here's what I think the Democrats want to happen. Again, this is one person's opinion. If you disagree with it, that is fine. We can still be friends. All right? We can still be friends.
I'm so
Why
happy.
Can't we be friends? That was the song. I think the Democrats would like for President Trump to win the nomination on the Republican side, and then he gets convicted of these of felonies, and he's either A, sent to prison. It'll be on appeal for a long time probably. or, you know, get house arrest or whatever happens. Anyway, he'll be convicted. And so you have a guy who's been chosen by the Republican voters, a majority of them, to be their nominee, while he's mortally wounded as a general election candidate, because he's already, it's already a 50-50 country, right? So if you take, but in, people may say, I don't believe that. You take independents and a lot of women independents, and you tag a convicted felon notice on an already candidate that's very divisive, talking about President Trump. Now, he's been polling right ahead of Biden, but then the next week Biden will poll ahead of him if you want to look at the polls, okay? But I'm just saying, if you put convicted felon on that, he has no chance. He has no chance to win the general election. So I think the Democrat strategy would be Donald Trump is selected by the Republicans, and it appears he's on track to do that. And then he's convicted, and then he's basically no good as a general election candidate. Does that make sense as a possible scenario?
Yes. I'm not sure that many Democrats want to face Trump if Biden is his competition. I just think in their minds that's kind of a toss up. Now,
what's a toss up?
Trump v. Biden again,
even if he's convicted.
I don't know about that. I don't know if he's convicted, then it's probably not a toss up. But what you're saying is that the Democrats right now expect every one of those if then things to happen.
You know who's showing up better? The best candidate to face Biden in the election, in the polls, for the most part?
Nikki Haley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley is showing up as a, again, I'm just doing an analysis of what's out there in the polls. If you look at the polls that show, okay, who is more likely to, who fares better against Biden, that's slim. It's not a big difference, but it's who fares better against Biden. Again, these national polls are almost worthless, because you have to look at the 6 or 7 or 8 swing states. That's really all that matters. Because it doesn't, the state I live in, Mississippi, you can, the Republican candidate can be a bird. And it's going to beat that bird is going to beat Joe Biden.
Right.
Okay. Or as Donald Trump calls Nikki Haley, bird brain.
Right.
Okay. So in California, that same bird could put a D by its name, and it would beat the Republican candidate.
Right.
So you have states that are already decided, we don't even have to poll. All right. But you have those 6 or 7 or 8 swing states where the election is going to be decided, as it has been since what? Bush versus Gore?
Yeah.
So I'm saying that actually Nikki Haley shows up better in the polls versus Biden than does DeSantis or Trump. Now, again, it's not a huge margin. Like Nikki Haley may be 2 or 3 percentage points ahead of DeSantis or Donald Trump. Go ahead.
5 points. She beats Biden. Haley beats Biden. Let me take that back. Trump.
What are you looking at? What are you quoting from?
RCP, for Real Clear Politics polling. And the RCP average has Haley up by 5 points, 4.8 points.
You're talking about if she went one-on-one against Biden.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Can I explain why I think that is? I think that is because, first of all, I think most Americans, even most Democrats, don't like Biden. Okay? If Biden is the candidate for the Democratic Party, he's a very weak candidate. But I think the vast majority of Americans are very mushy. They are primarily pragmatic.
The mushy middle?
Yeah, they're mushy about principled stands. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this or that. They are worried about the economy. They're worried about immigration. That what they don't want is they don't want division anymore. So that's why
they're peacemakers.
I think they're tired of the rancor, And that's why they, that's why I don't think Donald Trump has a good chance. I think that's why Haley Barbour comes out on top of Ron
Haley
DeSantis.
Barbour.
I mean, Haley Barbour, Nikki Haley, sorry. Wow. I am so sorry. I apologize to Nikki Haley. I think that's why Nikki Haley comes out on top of even Ron DeSantis, because what people, what most voters probably know about Ron DeSantis is that he's combative and he is a bit divisive on his stance, so they don't want that either. Nikki Haley is a woman. They assume she's not going to be making smart aleck comments or insults. She's going to be businesslike, and she's going to handle the problems. I think that's why she comes out polling right now above Joe Biden, Donald Trump, and Ron DeSantis, is because those other three candidates, I think, look to most Americans as being very weak, like Biden, really divisive, like Donald Trump, kind of divisive, like Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
That's my
take. That's a good point. Good point, Saul. Yeah. I think, what were you saying? You were citing the Real Clear Politics, Nikki Haley versus Biden, and she was up
four point eight percent. Yeah, or points. Okay. Yeah.
See what I'm saying about we're basically a 50-50 country, and have been since Bush versus Gore, and maybe even before that. 50% of Americans are going to vote Democrat, and 50% are going to vote Republican. Almost no matter what, huh? You do have your middle. You had to have your independents out there, and so a lot of people say, well, which way are they going to break, and why are they going to vote one way?
I will say this in Donald Trump's favor in a general election. Again, tossing out all the, and obviously you shouldn't toss all this out in terms of his legal issues, is the lawsuits and the criminal prosecutions, because they're going to play a big factor. But setting those things aside, I think former President Trump is doing better with the black community and the Hispanic community, which, all things being equal, might actually give him a bump or two percentage point wise in a general election.
Gentlemen,
again, that's if there were no legal.
I want to get this in before we leave, because this is breaking news. Kevin McCarthy is resigning from Congress. He will not. He's leaving at the end of this year.
Is he going to run for president?
No, he says he's not done serving the American people. So I don't know.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to K Street and going to make a killing.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not.
In your own words, bingo. That's right. I'm going to serve the American people.
That's what they all do.
Making a bundle.
That's what they all do. Republicans and Democrats, when they get out of Congress, they go to lobby and they make a mint. I mean,
Well, if you're him and you go, listen, I got my head beat in here in Congress.
Right.
You know, both sides got voted out. Good grief. Who wants to put up with that stuff anymore? I'm done. I'm
what
serving
if he,
number one.
Maybe he wants to go serve as Matt Gaetz, chief of staff.
I bet. I'm thinking. That's it.
What about a Gaetz McCarthy ticket? How would that do?
You ever see the Pink Panther movies,
yeah,
where the chief inspector Dreyfus is always trying to kill Inspector Clouseau because, yeah, he's just so frustrated?
Yeah.
I can see Kevin McCarthy doing that to Matt Gaetz, just hanging around in the shadows, just trying to.
All right.
Wow, so that's breaking news.
Yes, okay.
Signing.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Ed and Brent Creeley, our producer, and Fred Jackson, who was with us earlier, and Abraham Hamilton III, who joined us last hour. Have a great afternoon. Keep listening to AFR. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. See you tomorrow.